episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And we have Sports Review Wrestling, special feature, 1984, the year in pictures.
Yeah. Well, that's not the main title.
No, I guess not. I guess the main title is Kerry Von Erich's Warning.
Okay, so Sports Review Wrestling, April 1985.
Yeah.
That we were talking
about. Oh, I forgot to say the year. Yeah.
We're talking about the year in review of 1984, though. And the main picture on the cover here is Kerry Von Erich's Warning, Crusher Blackwell is not to be trusted. Kind of a theme in the episode we just did.
Yeah.
Talking about beware of these men, they are not to be trusted. Apparently you have to add Crusher Blackwell to that list. Because on this cover, Kerry Von Erich is giving Crusher Blackwell he's trying to give him a claw.
Yeah, and Crusher Blackwell is like holding his wrist. He's like, I'm not going to let you claw me.
Yeah, Crusher. It's actually interesting because I'm always associated with Crusher Blackwell just being AWA pretty much straight through.
But. Yeah, I didn't know that he worked in Texas, and I didn't know that he worked the Von Erichs, so...
Yeah, so here he is. And then in the corner there, we have a little banner that says, Who is Billy Haynes? How Jesse Barr was fooled by Billy Jack. So apparently you cannot trust Billy Jack Haynes as well, as we learned in the episode prior due to his rule-breaking ways that he became accustomed to.
5 years later, but yeah.
So we're...
You know, I never had the Billy Jack Haynes LJN figure. I kind of wish I bought it. I never had it.
I'd wear a Billy Jack Haynes shirt now. I don't think it'll be made again because, you know.
I have a derby. Maybe I'll go as Billy Jack Haynes for Halloween.
You kind of can do the beard.
Yeah.
Do the hat. Do the derby or get a big derby. Get a big brim hat. Put a red or a green sash around it. Get yourself like a yellow jacket.
Just get an Oregon jacket.
Get an Oregon jacket. Oregon Ducks.
I can be Billy Jack Haynes.
You sure could.
That would be funny if like there was like an 80s party and I showed up as Billy Jack Haynes and nobody knew who I was. I'd be like, I'm Billy Jack Haynes. That's who I am.
Now, I'm like the greatest wrestler of the 80s that PW Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine would talk about.
Well, like, look him up on YouTube now and see what he's become.
Yeah. Wasn't he wearing... So... I haven't watched it, but there was that one where he's lost his mind.
Yeah, he's crazy, and he's wearing like a blonde wig.
He was wearing a blonde wig, wasn't he? Like an actual, like, I don't know why he was wearing the wig. Because he was cutting a promo on like Steve Austin, how he wanted to fight Steve in a MMA fight. And because of all the shit that something happened between him and Steve's previous wife or whatever, and just... Yeah, he lost his goddamn mind.
Which wife? The first wife? The second wife?
Janine, I think.
Oh, okay. The first wife.
Lady Blossom.
So stuff went down with Billy Jack Haynes and Lady Blossom?
I supposedly. She put out a book.
Yeah.
And I think she might have been his girlfriend. Lady Blossom and Billy Jack were together.
Oh.
I don't know.
I think that kind of... Man, Billy Jack. Because I'm thinking of Billy Jack now, and I'm just like, man, how the hell could he land Lady Blossom? But I can't think in those terms. I have to think Billy Jack Haynes, 1980s, 1990s Billy Jack Haynes. And yeah, he could have probably
Maybe that's what they were doing back then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't... Only thing I've ever watched like full scale with him was that first shoot he did with RF Video. I have that one. And he just, you know... Just basically like, yeah, so my uncle used to, you know, mess with me and I had all these horrible things happen in my life, and then he just was telling all these crazy stories, and then like he just got even crazier, you know, when when the whole thing with Benoit happened, he's like, Vince McMahon killed Chris Benoit and his family, and he had that thing where he was like, bombshell tonight, and then he was like yelling that before he would say something crazy. There's got to be like a video out there of that, but it's he lost his damn mind. So the Tatler, we're here talking about the news of the day in wrestling in 1984 or 1985, I guess.
They're in Greensboro.
In Greensboro, the Road Warriors and Manny Fernandez and Dusty Rhodes are fighting. Also, this is around the time where Captain Lou turned face because Roddy Piper hit him over the head
with the record?
With the record, yeah. I think it was. Or where, you know, something. Yeah, he attacked him again, this time with the national audience. He beat him up at WrestleMania Square Garden with the record. And then he punched him on Tuesday Night Titans, apparently. Knocked his ass out. So
I don't remember that part. I didn't see that part, but I've started watching Tuesday Night Titans here and there on the network. It's one of those guilty pleasures of mine where I know it's not good, but I'm still going to watch it because it's great.
No, it's really bad, and it's really boring.
Yeah, it is. It's really boring.
It's really boring because a lot of it's like just Vince sitting there being like, ugh, how much do you weigh? You know, and then, you know, Lord Alfred Hayes is just like, oh, and then fucking, you know, managers will come in and be like, ah, fuck you, Vince, fuck this, with everything. And then they'll bring a wrestler in and Vince will be like, oh, how much do you weigh? And, you know, Vince is just really into seeing how much guys weigh. It's like Art Donovan. That's how I remember TNT. And then there was one eventually where it was like the later ones where Mean Gene would host, because at one point Vince was like, fuck it. And then like, Mean Gene would host, and they had and Jake the Snake just came into the WWF. So he's like, they're like having interviewing him, and he's like talking about Gene's interviewing him, and he's like, Jake's like talking about his dick and stuff, and he's like, something about, like, hey, I got a snake for you, no scales, or he's just yelling at people. And then somebody in the audience, because they had apparently at some point they had a live studio audience, and somebody was like, hey, Dick Slater's here in the WWF, you think you guys are going to wrestle? And he's like, Jake's like, ah, fuck, here's my snake, or whatever. It was out of control. I think my favorite TNT memory was was when they invited Sal Bellomo. Did you ever see this one?
No, I don't think so.
They invited Sal Bellomo. Sal Bellomo has a skill where he builds ships in a bottle.
Oh.
So they had him, they interview him at the beginning of the show, and then Vince is like, or he builds ships or something out of like fucking newspapers. That's Sal Bellomo. That's what Sal Bellomo does. And so they're like, hey, so now that we've interviewed you, why don't you like go over there and build a ship out of that newspaper? And he's like, you know, and so he's like, okay, I'm Sal Bellomo. And so he's doing it like off screen, but like he's right like in front of Vince, like everybody. And so like the wrestlers are coming out to like other wrestlers coming out to do interviews, and like John Studd comes over, John Studd comes out, and he's just like cutting a promo on Sal Bellomo while he's putting together this thing. And then like later on, they actually like cook a bunch of Italian food because Sal Bellomo is his mom knows his mom's Italian, so she knows how to cook. And so Wendy Richter shows up, and then at the end of the show, they all eat Italian food and they eat like fucking artichokes and
That's
shit.
That's the best idea for a show ever, I think.
What I would do if I was bringing back TNT today, I would just have like whoever's hosting it now, like I would do it like where somebody goes through a time tunnel and just gets trapped in 1984 or 1985, then they have to host TNT, and they just host it with all the regular wrestlers that are out today. But for some reason, Sal Bellomo is still there putting together his paper boat, and yeah, that's how I would do it.
Yeah, that's how I would do it too. Sal Bellomo.
It's on the network. You have to go back and see it. It's one of the ones on there. There's that one. There's also the one where do you remember Rusty Brooks?
No.
So he's like this fat Mike Shaw looking jobber that like he was like a big fat guy, you know, and he kind of looked like, you know, like a guy that would like work on your car, but he wasn't like a rugged kind of guy to work here. He was just a guy that would like cash you out or something. I don't know. I'm probably insulting people that actually work at car parts places, so I apologize. But so he would come out and he would, you know, he would wrestle and he'd get his ass kicked because he's, you know, he's a jobber. But then because they had an episode of Tuesday Night Titans that was just dedicated to the jobbers.
That sounds awesome too.
It was dedicated to the jobbers, and then they brought him out, and he's out there, and like Bobby Heenan's out there, and you know, Rusty Brooks is like, hey, why don't you manage me, Bobby Heenan? And it's like, you know, Bobby Heenan's like, ah, you're a ham and egger, you're a loser. And he's like, yeah, but I could use your guy. And he's like, ah, you suck. Yeah, you know, that's another episode. You know, man, TNT was awesome.
Yeah. When you brought up Mean Gene, I just recently found out that Mean Gene Burgers is still a thing. I thought those were just like Minnesota that still has some locations.
You know what would be a great concept for us? Maybe we can even like make a show, like a web series out of it if we have like the infinite funds, just to go to all these wrestling places.
Yeah.
And eat.
So like, Mean Gene Burgers isn't like a restaurant where you go in and you order, like, you know, from Mean Gene. It's like,
you know, of course you'd order
like,
from Mean Gene.
Well, it's like, so like, you know how when you go to like Arco, it's AMPM? It's whatever gas station is there, it's Mean Gene's Grill is what it is. And then you go in there and all
wait, so it's like a Wawa?
Yeah. So all the food is Mean Gene themed. And they have a
Mean Gene themed?
Yeah, it has the cardboard cutout.
Mean Gene.
It has a cardboard cutout of Mean Gene from like the 90s. And it's just like just frozen food that like has been heated up and is like it has Mean Gene on the wrappers. So Mean Gene Grill, what? I could do without. But I don't. Years ago, I used to work with this guy. His name was Greg, and he brought in with him one day a Mean Gene Burgers hat. He's like, I had this. I knew you'd get a kick out of it. Apparently, he knew somebody who worked for the Mean Gene Burgers, and he had his hat. So I had a Mean Gene Burgers hat on him one time. So,
all right.
But yeah, but I like your idea of a show. If I had some money,
if we had the money, we'd be going down to the beach, go down to Hogan's Beach Restaurant.
Maybe an Indiegogo campaign for us to do.
What kind of benefits do you get? It's like, wow, you get to watch us eat.
You get to watch us go to Jerry Lawler's Barbecue in Memphis, Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop, and I guess Hulk Hogan and Bushwhacker Luke are opening a new restaurant.
Really?
Yeah, because Hulk Hogan had like a restaurant nightclub that he closed. So now I guess he's opening another one up with Bushwhacker Luke.
Oh man,
yeah.
What kind of is it? I don't know.
But yeah, because
I don't have any jokes for that.
So Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop is across the street from the world's largest McDonald's.
Really?
And the world's largest.
Wait, world's largest McDonald's is not out here in California.
No, it's in Florida.
Really?
And they have a pizza oven there. You can get a McPizza.
Oh man, just like in Canada.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We gotta take a break because all that food is making us hungry.
Yeah. So I'm gonna cook us some wieners and we'll get right back.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we are back. Top wrestlers. You have to read it because I'm looking at it upside down.
Top wrestlers answer your question of the month. This is actually one of my favorite segments in pro sports wrestling review, sports review wrestling books, because they just ask like general questions and then they make up a bunch of kayfabe answers. I
feel like Kevin Von Erich's answer is legit in this one.
Kevin's legit.
Yeah.
So the question, the question of the month is, what do you do with the money you make? And they ask some pretty big hitters.
Yeah.
Like 84, 85 hitters here. Ric Flair. Ric Flair won $1 million from that match against him and Dusty at Starrcade from Starrcade 84. So he took 15 of his closest friends to Hawaii for 2 weeks, and then he bought them all color TVs and VCRs, complete with a copy of the match where he won the $1 million. So that is Ric Flair in a nutshell.
I wonder what friends would those be? Would they be workers?
Oh, definitely. I mean, worker. I mean, who else? I mean, you think you gotta imagine all the heels at the time.
So okay, let's see, who's he taking to Hawaii? Obviously, he's taking the other horsemen. So
the horsemen weren't around yet.
Oh,
it was just Flair.
Oh yeah, you're right. This is 1984.
This is late 84. So,
yeah.
So he's still kind of just. I mean, he's kind of associated with guys. So
yeah.
So he's cool. So him and Arn are. I don't even think Arn's here yet. In WCW, I mean, or Ole. Shit. Yeah, who would Flair hang out
with? Yeah, who would he hang out with?
If you're Ric Flair and you're listening to the show, or if you're Conrad Thompson, you can always ask him.
Yeah, hey, I'm Conrad.
Hi, Connie. So Captain Lou is giving his money to multiple sclerosis research because he is a face now. So when you're a face, you give your money to people that need it. Road Warrior Animal is, this is my favorite one. Road Warrior Animal, him and Hawk... we'll take the money, go to a rundown neighborhood, and find the toughest local gang around. And we offer them $1,000 if they can knock us unconscious with their bare hands. Often we fight 10 to 12 of them at once. These gang members pull no punches. None of them have ever seen $1,000 before, and they want it. I also spend my money on motorcycles and steak. Yeah.
Motorcycles and steak.
Yeah. Man, I'm fucking pumped.
I wonder how many motorcycles he bought.
Think about it. Hawk was a Hell's Angel.
Yeah.
Legit at some point. Buddy Rose spends his money on rare women.
Oh, rare women.
Well, pretty much like everything. Like all bunch of...
I spend my money on beautiful women, champagne, exotic cars, fur coats.
Well, he goes through all these things and he's saying like he's like racehorses. He says women like a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But then he says rare women at one point. Yeah. He makes a lot of money apparently.
Rare women.
Rare women.
What would a rare woman be?
Lightly cooked. I don't know. We can't ask Buddy Rose anymore.
Yeah.
But Rick Martel sends his money to starving children in Ethiopia.
Oh, Rick Martel.
This is before he realized that he needs the money to fund his modeling career. So.
Well, I don't think he needed to fund a career. He probably took his money because he just became a model. So he wasn't funding a career. He was just the model. But he probably took.
Maybe I'll take the time off from work to do the shoot.
Well, yeah, but he was getting paid. Because he was a model, but he probably took all that money and created the concept of arrogance. He got arrogance off the ground.
Oh, so you think this went to science?
Yeah, yeah. He developed arrogance.
He sure did.
Yeah, he went to the best cologne manufacturers and sold them what he wanted out of the cologne, and there you go.
It's like, make it so I can blind Jake Roberts with it.
I never was able to buy arrogance in the store. Rick Martel, now that I think about it.
Maybe you should have spent some money on marketing.
I think WWE has $1 million untapped license there. Like, they could just start selling arrogance.
Did you ever buy the Nitro cologne?
No. See, that's the thing. Wrestling Nitro cologne. Sell the arrogance cologne.
Yeah. Let's see here. Kevin Von Erich. My father handles most of my investments. Oh, he sure does. Yeah. And he's just happy to live well in Texas. So.
Yeah.
Shout out to...
In other words, I work for free.
Yeah.
It's basically, it's my dad's promotion. He doesn't pay me. Yeah.
Yeah, he lets me live on the ranch.
Yeah.
I'm still alive. I'm Kevin Von Erich.
I have the ranch now. It's my ranch.
Now it's my ranch. Actually, no, he lives in like Hawaii now, I think.
He sold the ranch.
I sold the ranch. I made all the money. Now I'm in Hawaii and I'm basically like living off the land there. Shout out to Kevin Von Erich, living.
Yeah.
King Kong Bundy has a huge home.
Well, he needs to have a big home to fit in the door.
He has a huge home that he says, I have a full-time staff of 18 workers who maintain the main house and surrounding areas. It is a place that requires all of my substantial income to maintain. It is well worth it. Without this haven, I would probably kill someone.
I think he's lying. I think.
King Kong Bundy will take your money any way he can get it. You cannot talk to him on the phone unless you pay him something.
Yeah.
I got kayfabed by him because I emailed, because this is when I was like helping Big Mosh out, be like, oh, I'll email some people and see if we can get some people on for your blah, blah, blah. We email Email whoever King Kong Bundy's, whatever his email was, you know, 555 at Hotmail. And emails back, and it's like, you know, because I'm like, oh, it's a phone interview. You know, it's like, whatever, phone interview, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, how much will you pay me? And it's signed with his shoot name. So he kayfabed me with his shoot name. I didn't realize it was, I was talking to him. Because his shoot name is like Chris Paella or something, or Pally's or whatever. So, nothing?
It doesn't, I don't know if that surprises me or not. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird.
It's definitely weird.
But I could see him, like, I could see that being like, you have to pay me this amount of money because I'll talk. I mean, it's like,
we're not making
you that bad.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not selling the show, so why would I pay you?
Why would I have any money to give you if I'm asking you just to do an interview? I mean, really.
I'm surprised Big Bosch didn't pay him.
You know, I don't think.
He's been known to pick up the tab at restaurants with wrestlers, so I'm surprised.
Right, but I think
he just didn't shoot him like a $50, you know.
Well, he didn't give a price.
Western Union, here you go.
He didn't give a price, but the problem was he probably was like a thing where we're just like, we're just looking for guests, and then we just were like, hey, King Kong Bundy, would you like to do this podcast or this radio show, because it's not a podcast yet?
Because there was no word podcast yet.
Not quite yet. I mean, there technically was, I think. Yeah. It was 2004, so technically.
Oh yeah, by then there was. Yeah,
but yeah, we didn't really know how it worked, and yeah, but he was not cooperative with that regards. Let's see here. Ivan Koloff is a communist, and he sends his money back home to Mother Russia. And sometimes he gets some fancy vodka. Jim Cornette he puts it in banks because he's Jim Cornette. And Bobby Jaggers goes to Trailblazers games. Bobby Jaggers should have got himself some plastic surgery to cover up those gig scars, because he's literally like 50% gig scar at this point, with his hair at this point. Or
should just like comb his bangs down.
Oh yeah, fix yeah, yeah, we do that, you know.
Yeah.
Wrestler of the Month, B. Brian Blair.
It's a great promo photo of B. Brian Blair.
It is a great photo. Although B. Brian Blair puts me to sleep. So
yeah.
He just won the Florida Championship, heavyweight championship. So he's
got the least defined stomach of any wrestler in a promo photo I've ever seen.
Yeah, he doesn't really have much going on there. Just abs.
Just totally flat.
He's got the high-waisted trunks, so he's covering up, you know, as much as that as possible. Not to say he's not in shape.
No, he looks great, yeah.
So this is for a period ending of January 10th. So this is our ratings. Top 10, Ric Flair, Rick Martel, Dusty Rhodes, Hulk Hogan, Kerry Von Erich, Wahoo McDaniel, Greg Valentine, Billy Haynes, Ronnie Garvin, and Jim Garvin. So that is your top 10. And I think everything else here looks to be in order here. Jesse apparently was still wrestling at this time. He's number 10.
Oh, number 10 in the WWF, yeah, right below the Tonga Kid. Yeah, it's your who's who of WWF wrestlers. You had Hulk Hogan and then Greg Valentine, John Studd, Tito Santana, Ken Patera, Nikolai Volkoff, Jimmy Snuka, Roddy Piper, Barry Windham, Tonga Kid, Jesse Ventura.
See, this is weird because this is when they didn't quite. This is before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So they didn't. They always treated WWF as kind of like a regional thing up until like the big boom happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Hogan's a champion, so obviously things are cooking.
Yeah, because it's got NWA and AWA, and then it goes most popular, most hated. You don't get to WWF until the next page with all the other territories.
Yeah.
They're Florida, Mid-South, Georgia. It's lumped in with those.
Yeah. What garbage is that? So, but I don't know. You have anything else to say about these ratings?
Yeah, not really. World class, you have the Von Erichs. It's like every other person's a Von Erich.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So that's really it. There's nothing that really stands out. No weird names that we can
Mention. Everybody on all these names.
Yeah. Pez Watley being number one in Florida is kind of surprising. I didn't realize he was that big of a name.
Well, that's a good question, because it actually raised a question, because if Brian Blair was the Florida champion, why is Pez Watley above him?
Yeah.
Because Jesse Barr, he may have been, because there was like a bunch of titles. So there was like the Bahamas title, there was a Southern champion. But the Florida champion would have been above the Southern champion.
Probably.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting. Also, the Freebirds were in the kicking around there, too, for a minute. Michael Hayes, at least, was. So that's what's going on in Florida. I think this is sometime either before or just after Eddie Graham passed away. So.
Oh, you got Ernie Ladd still wrestling in Mid-South.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still wrestling back in. I didn't realize he wrestled that late into past 84.
Yeah.
I always figured he was done by this time, but he was still kicking around. So, yeah, Mid-South looks pretty dope, though. You got Brad Armstrong, you got Butch Reed, Hacksaw, DiBiase, Dr. Death.
It's Butch Reed, then Hacksaw, not Hacksaw, Butch Reed.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
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 You got two Hacksaws.
Back-to-back Hacksaws in Mid-South.
Hacksaws.
Battle of the Hacksaws.
Battle of the Hacksaws. They did wrestle a bunch, too, so, yeah. Good ratings here. I like it. I'm into it. Also, we special thing here, women's ratings.
Yeah, Wendi Richter, number one.
So we got Wendi Richter, Fabulous Moolah, Judy Martin, Desiree Peterson, Velvet McIntyre. Now it's like a bunch of people I don't know who they are. So Penny Mitchell, Wiona Litterheart, Susan Starr, Peggy Patterson, and Peggy Lee.
A lot of Peggies. A lot of Peggies and Pennies.
We're still rocking the Peggy.
Yeah.
Back in the day. So, Gary Hart interview. Gary Hart is awesome.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome.
I love this photo here of him kind of creeping by the ring. Like, it's just him. And he had a good look.
Yeah, my only knock on Gary Hart, and this is nothing, like, not a detriment to him, but, like, he was just as tall as the other wrestlers. That was probably what the only thing he had going against him was he was tall.
But I don't think he... I don't know, that never really bothered me as much because he, at least, you know, I didn't know him as at least when I would watch him, and granted, I mean, you catch him at different eras. So like,
yeah.
Usually you're watching him like 89, 90, WCW.
Yeah.
But then he's also in, you know, he's in the world class stuff, you know, so he's, you know, he's been around for a while, but yeah, I don't know. I've always kind of just taken to it. I'm like, you know, he's just a guy that's there, and it's kind of like James J. Dillon. Like James J. Dillon, you know.
Yeah, he was just as tall as the rest of the horsemen. So yeah.
Well, somebody also pointed out too, like, it was hard to understand when you would watch WCW like in 98, 99, and like JJ would come out and like make some rulings and stuff, and you're just no. If you didn't watch that stuff or you weren't paying attention, like you wouldn't realize. The gravity, you know, or at least the weight that he had, you know, that he was a wrestler at some point, that he could probably hold his own. He was just some guy.
Yeah.
People, and that's kind of how it is sometimes with Gary Hart. But Gary Hart, one of the greatest minds of the business. Basically, we're talking about him. Gary Hart, an offer was made to Gary Hart $100,000 to leave Chris Adams alone and possibly put an end to the Adams Von Erich war. And so he offers a reply to his $100,000. And because I think the wrestler made an offer to him.
No.
So that means, so Stu Sachs and Bill Wafter did a Kickstarter. They put together the money.
1984 Kickstarter. Which was like.
Standing outside of a wrestling event being like, yeah, hey,
give us some money.
And they put together that money, and they said, it was go away money to Gary Hart. I unfortunately did not read this article.
Yeah,
at least I don't remember it. Wait, so can I take it that you're not accepting our $100,000 offer to leave Chris Adams alone? That's all he needs to do is leave him alone. He says, not only am I accepting it, I consider it an insult of the highest order. An insult? Precisely. In what way? Right now, Chris Adams is on the verge of still another title shot against Ric Flair. In addition to that, Chris is effectively proving to world-class wrestling fans that the Von Erichs are not beautiful, wonderful, golden boys of perfection, so they believe that they believe him to be. He is banking on Chris Adams making that world championship, world heavyweight championship cheddar.
Well, that's interesting. The Irwin brothers. We don't really have too many articles about the Irwin brothers. So.
No, you don't really get much about Scott and Bill Irwin.
It's a great photo of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the tag belts, and they're wearing matching leather jackets and jeans. It looks awesome.
They're in Atlanta right now, so they're wrestling for the international title, or the national titles, and now eventually
Yeah, they've been to Texas. They're probably going to be on their way to AWA soon.
I love how they're wearing suspenders with jeans.
Yeah.
That's great.
I also like this one where apparently they just wrestled wearing a jacket. Like, he didn't even, Scott didn't even bother to take off any of the gear. They just beat the shit out of them. So that's what they do. They were ass kickers.
And then Bill became the goon.
Bill became the goon, and R.I.P. Scott Irwin.
Yeah,
he wasn't very much longer. He died of brain cancer, which sucks. So now we're here. Who is Billy Jack Haynes? How Jesse Barr was fooled by Billy Jack? And we have this. Actually, I think this is a great photo here of Jesse Barr standing over the ropes, pointing at Billy Jack, who is just kind of standing there, looking off to the side. But it's just posed really well. So when Jesse Barr signed for a match against a man named Billy Haynes, he was never expected his opponent to be one of the most accomplished men in professional wrestling. Barr claims that he was a victim of conspiracy, but as hard as he tried, he'll never be able to erase the biggest embarrassment of his career. So this is a Florida situation here. So
was Billy Haynes so did he just show up in Florida as Billy Haynes, like nobody knew who he was, or was he already Billy Haynes prior to coming to Florida?
You know, he would often, Billy Jack would, for some reason, would use, because he used Billy Jack first, and that was based off of the movie from the 70s. And I think it was okay for him to do that, but then he decided to start using Billy Haynes because in tribute to his father. But then just to kind of, I think he just added Billy Jack Haynes, so everybody kind of knew who he was, because he was very popular as Billy Jack, and then he was Billy Haynes. So I'm assuming that the joke was that, or the gimmick was that he was Billy Jack guy, and it's, yeah, he was already Billy, because he was already a Florida champion.
Oh, so he must have been like Billy Jack, and then like, oh, he disappeared, and then like, oh, you're going to wrestle Billy Haynes. It's like, well, whatever, who's Billy Haynes? And it's like, okay, I'll wrestle him, and it was Billy Jack. It's like, yeah, my last name's Haynes, sucker. Gotcha.
That's how you could do it, because you didn't have the internet back then.
Yeah.
You didn't have Wikipedia. You could be fooled.
My name's Billy Jack Haynes. I have a last name.
Crusher Blackwell is not to be trusted, Kerry Von Erich warns. When Kerry Von Erich challenged Crusher Blackwell recently in St. Louis, he was looking for a victory. Oh, okay, so this makes sense now. He was looking for a victory that would earn him a shot at Blackwell's Missouri state title. What he found, however, was that Blackwell may not be the honorable man AWA wrestling fans believe him to be. So you could be, so back in the 80s, you could pretty much, you know, these are guys, this is like around this period where you could be in like AWA or Texas or whatever, but you can also fuck around and like wrestle in like Central States or whatever. You could, back when the Missouri title, because Missouri title was always considered to be like the next step up to the NWA title for a long time. Like, it was kind of, it wasn't always the WCW US title
for some reason.
But the NWA US title was always, it was the Missouri title. So this is where they're going at it. So yeah, apparently you cannot trust him because Blackwell is a crazy, crazy man. He is he's a big man. An angry man.
He's an AWA Remco.
He's an AWA Remco. You wore a muumuu.
I wish I had that Remco. There's a lot of Remcos I wish I had.
I have the only Remco I have right now. I got that
Baron von Raschke.
Whatever. Is it Raschke or Raschke?
I've heard both.
He with his little robe.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of that. So, yeah. So that's our... I mean, I don't really have anything else to say about Crusher Blackwell. I mean, they had a match. Blackwell was getting a little bit rough. Kerry was like, watch out for him. So, but here's the money of the book. This is what I'm actually looking for.
Yeah, 1984, the year in pictures. Yeah. I wish they were in color.
Yeah, but these are good pictures nonetheless here. Yeah. So we start off the year with Hulk Hogan beating Shiki Baby. Then we also have... was it here? It looks like Angela Mosca Jr. That's who we're dealing with here. He won his first major title defeating Ivan Koloff for the Mid-Atlantic title. He went nowhere. David Von Erich and we got David Von Erich and Harley Race wrestling. We got the Gary Hart led tag team of Don Kernodal and Bob Orton, and then we also have Road Warrior Animal in a great shot here pressing Brett Wayne Sawyer above his head. So that's January.
It was a good January.
That's a good January. February, you saw Tito Santana win the title, Intercontinental title, and then you also have R.I.P. David Von Erich. This was just a month prior. He was wrestling, what's his face?
Harley Race
for, you know, on, probably well on his way to maybe winning that heavyweight title, that NWA title. He was definitely on his way to doing that, but. So, also here too, I'm not looking at this right here, but Jumbo Tsuruta beat Nick Bockwinkel for the AWA title.
Oh, that's how you say it, Tsuruta.
It's Tsuruta.
Yeah.
You
gotta drop that T. Yeah. I always mispronounce it as Tutsuruta.
You know, I'm surprised Jumbo Tsuruta never got himself a Remco guy. I figured they would have busted that out at some point.
Wasn't he in a WCW video game?
Tsuruta?
Yeah.
He might have had a likeness in WCW versus the World.
Yeah, that might be what I'm thinking of, yeah.
That would make sense, because pretty much there are guys in that game who are, you know, pretty much what you would expect, you know, their counterparts. Some of them are not, and some of them are, so. Also, you have a Barry Windham with a huge unibrow here. It looks like he's wrestling, was that AW? Is that Barry Windham? Who am I looking at here? Oh, it is Barry Windham. Yeah, and Dory Funk. With an intense unibrow. Oh, I skipped March. Can't skip March. March saw a lot of stuff go. We had Harley Race and Ric Flair. They actually, this is the during the unrecognized changes or recently recognized changes for the NWA title when they wrestled, I think it was in New Zealand. So, also Brett Wayne Sawyer, or I'm sorry, Buzz Sawyer. Shout out to Buzz Sawyer.
Who's this in the cage?
That's Billy Jack and Kendo Nagasaki.
That's who that is, yeah.
Yeah.
Thought it was Adrian Street.
No.
With all that makeup.
No, Kendo Nagasaki had that sweet makeup too. I like Kendo Nagasaki. And then you have April, where Dusty Rhodes won... Oh, no, wait. Dusty Rhodes did something, obviously. He won $100,000 and a gold and diamond ring and the unofficial title Champions of Champions over his win over Ric Flair.
And you got...
So if he was champion of champions, but he didn't win the title, then how is he a champion?
He's got the gold ring.
That's horseshit.
Wow, Billy Jack Haynes won a $50,000 and a full Nelson challenge.
Man, we're just throwing around money, all sorts of money back in
the against game. Superstar Billy Graham.
That's right.
Battle of the Billies.
That's right. I have that book. I have that. I have a wrestler that covers that. I think we've done that on the show.
Was that Kung Fu Billy Graham?
It was Kung Fu Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why was he using a full Nelson?
I don't know. What would you use if you were in a Kung Fu guy? What would you use?
Kick to the head.
Yeah, but like if you had to do a submission, what would you
use? No. You just kick a guy. You're Kung Fu.
Yeah, it's true.
You ever play Kung Fu for Nintendo? You just punch and kick. That's it.
Yeah, but there's those guys that try to hug you. Maybe they're trying to do full Nelsons. That's how they beat you.
I don't like it.
Then we also got young Kamala here.
Yeah, he's choking one of the Von Erichs.
Yeah, he's choking out Kerry. And then apparently there was a match where Jim Cornette had to take his clothes off.
Oh, no.
Jim Cornette is like super young here.
Yeah.
Yet he always looks old somehow. I don't understand.
That's the glasses.
Yeah, I guess so. Kerry Von Erich beats Ric Flair for the title, and then 19 days later, Ric Flair wins it back.
Wah wah.
But also Rick Martel wins the AWA title from Jumbo Tsuruta. And yeah, that's a big.
It
was a big month.
You got a big splash photo next to another big splash photo. A lot of big splashes going on in May, I guess.
Yeah, we're splashing all over the place.
Yeah.
In June, Billy Jack and Superstar Graham were still battling.
Mike Von Erich has Ric Flair in a headlock. And that's probably the most awkward photo I've ever seen in my life.
Of what, him in a headlock?
Yeah, because it's Mike Von Erich.
Oh, yeah. And then, I actually, I like this photo here of One Man Gang.
Yeah.
He's dressed up in a Eddie Vedder flannel.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of standing, like, his arms crossed, like he's kind of, he's bloody, but he's pouting.
He's pouting to Sir Oliver Humperdinck.
And it says, One Man Gang, after being cut up in a barbed wire match, has words with his manager, Sir Oliver Humperdinck. Soon after, the two had a violent split. It's like he's getting scolded. It just,
yeah.
It just looks silly. So, yeah, and then we get some other stuff from Puerto Rico. We got a, what is it, looks like Stan Hansen and Carlos Colon. And then you have, you know, a few other matches here. And you got Kung Fu Jake Roberts taking on Andy Garvin.
Yeah, he's going to give him an elbow, it looks like. Or the Pity City.
Yeah, give him a Pity City. July saw Wendy Richter win the WWF title. Also, Sweet Daddy Siki.
Look at that photo. Look at that guy.
Yeah, look at that guy. That's how Butch Reed got his blonde hair. They tried to make him into that. Also, we get a picture of the aftermath of Black Saturday. Because you have Ole and Gordon Sully standing there, and it says, after being taken off the air following WWF's takeover of World Championship Wrestling, Gordon Sully, Ole Anderson, and Georgia Wrestling were back on the air 2 weeks later. So, also...
Was it that soon?
Yeah.
I thought, I mean, I knew they were on a different time slot, but I thought it was like a while before they were back on TBS.
Apparently, I you know, it was much quicker than we imagined.
Oh. Yeah, because I knew that TBS, WWF took that 6:05 time slot, but I thought they were on it for a few months before Georgia came. I guess it was only a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then they were both on it for a while, and then Vince was like, fuck it.
August sees Wahoo. Apparently Wahoo was, because his Flair was a face here still, apparently, in August of 84, and... Wahoo was a heel. So Wahoo's using his feet on the ropes because he's a heel. And then, then you also, this is how, what kind of hot news we had in August. We had Scott Armstrong, Tonga Kid, and Johnny Rich formed the Rat Patrol.
Wow.
In the Southeast area. I actually, in one of my, I think it was last year's wrestling game, I had the Rat Patrol. I made them. Because I wanted to have a south a continental representation, so that's what I did. Because I'm an idiot. And then we have Tonga Kid and Piper, or is it Snuka? It looks like Snuka and Piper wrestling, and Mike Von Erich, and yeah. So September, Rick Rude under Jimmy Hart's orders breaks up Jerry Lawler's Lincoln Continental. That's a pretty cool shot.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool car.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's a big V8 engine.
King Kong Bundy drove the getaway car. Wonder if he charged Rick Rude to get in. Because that's what King Kong Bundy does.
I imagine they worked that out ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we're getting... let's see here. Greg Valentine wins Tito Santana's title. A lot of Mike Von Erich pictures.
Yeah, too many Mike Von Erich pictures, if you ask me. I guess he had quite a year in 1984.
No kidding. I mean, geez.
And he was dead by 86.
87, actually.
87? Oh, whatever.
He's been on at least, I mean, he might even be on this one here, too. I'm worried that he is. So I don't want Mike Von Erich in all these photos. But, yeah, October, we just see some action in World Class. Jesse Barr taking on Scott McGee. For the Florida title on November, Sergeant Slaughter defending his country against Nikolai Volkoff. Also, Terry Gordy and Killer Khan, where Kerry Von Erich was a special referee. Dusty Rhodes lost a chance at the NWA World title and $1 million when special referee Joe Frazier said that Dusty was unfit to continue.
Oh, no. One of those deals.
Yeah. Then Crusher Blackwell also putting his feet up. He's putting his feet up at the top rope.
Yeah, look at that. He's getting a lot of leverage.
Yeah, getting a lot of leverage. And that's how he beat Harley Race for the Missouri title. I don't know if you can get up from a pin like that. If you had Crusher Blackwell leaning on you like that, how are you getting up?
If I'm Harley Race, I'm not putting over Crusher Blackwell. I wonder how that conversation went.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good... That was a interesting.
Whose idea was that? Who approached?
Crusher Blackwell was a big deal back then.
Who approached Harley and was like, "Listen, Harley, we're gonna put the belt on Crusher, like Crusher Blackwell." Yes. Okay.
All right, we're gonna do it. He has to finger wrestle me first. Bob Backlund returns.
Yeah.
Wrestle Ron Bass, and then finally in December we got a picture of Cyndi Lauper and Captain Lou. You got Roddy Piper hitting him with the record. Then you got the Rock and Roll Express taking on Teddy Biasi. And then Brad Armstrong winning the North American title from Ernie Ladd. So that's your year in pictures from 1984. It's pretty good. What do you think?
It's an interesting year. I liked how Hulk Hogan was really only in one photo when he won the belt.
That's true. We didn't get any. We only had one Hulk Hogan photo.
Yeah, it's like that's like the year where it all began, and like Hulk Hogan was the big deal. He was the bee's knees in wrestling that year, and one photo shows you the amount of respect the WWF got from Sports Review Wrestling.
Well, they put them on the ratings with all those other schmuck promotions.
Yeah.
You know, that's why AWA and NWA were up in the front.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's just interesting. Like, looking back on it now, like, thinking about, that was such a huge deal in wrestling, but when it was going on, they weren't treating it as a huge deal, at least in the magazines. So. Right. Which is like the ones that cover wrestling. It was a big deal in mainstream media, just not in the wrestling media.
Well, I feel like when Hogan won, it was covered, but it wasn't like as big as it was. But then, like, once WrestleMania became like the thing, that's when you would notice like the coverage became a big deal. And I'm pretty sure Stu Sachs would back me up on this. You know, because it's kind of like you got to sell magazines. So everybody's like, holy shit, rock and wrestling, you know.
Yeah.
Because we're getting there with that. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there at this time. So, you know, right now, but for now, you know, at this time, we just have to kind of, you know, settle for Crusher Blackwell pinning people with his feet on the ropes. So that's how it goes.
And Crusher Blackwell fighting a claw. A lot more Crusher Blackwell in this magazine than Hulk Hogan.
This magazine should have came with a Remco Crusher Blackwell.
Yeah,
I would have gladly, I would have been, I would appreciate that.
If Crusher Blackwell's next of kin is listening, thank you for having this man in our lives. I don't know what else to say.
Please say a prayer at your father's memorial.
Yeah. let him know he's not forgotten.
No, he's not. We're talking a lot about Crusher Blackwell this episode. So shout out to Crusher Blackwell, April 1985, Sports Review Wrestling. That's it for this week's show. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero Sean, and you can also find the show on Facebook as well as really anywhere.
Yeah.
Go on Apple Podcasts. Please rate and review us if you think we deserve it. Joe, where can people find your stuff?
Sweatpants Joe, Twitter and Instagram. Also, Sweatpants Joe Eats on YouTube. Go check out my YouTube show. I review a lot of cool food and or a lot of bad food, too, unfortunately. So
our quote.
It's got to be a Crusher Blackwell
quote. What would Crusher Blackwell say?
I don't. Did he have a catchphrase?
I don't. Think so, but what if we had to make one up, what would Crusher Blackwell say?
God, I had always got him confused with Jerry the Milkman Milliman. So
they had to say
So I guess to me, his quote would be, "My name's not Jerry."